Questions 15 to 18 are based on the following news report. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 15 to 18.
In the 20th century, numerous new nations have been formed. Though their peoples often enjoy full political liberty, there exist at the same time a great many strange practices. Native populations may be free to vote and to elect whom they please to govern them, but popular prejudices, unusual and harmful customs, take a long time to die out. However, now that people are better educated, they need not suffer in silence, for they are able to express their views. With the spread of civilization, improved living conditions, the cheapness of radio sets, books, and newspapers, most people are fairly well informed. In this way, many unpleasant customs disappear rapidly. There is a good example of this recently in a newly formed republic, when a girl of 14 refused to marry a 60-year-old man who had bought her for £40. Her father had agreed to the marriage when the girl was only 4 years old and had sold her to a man who already had at least 6 wives. Just before the marriage ceremony, the girl ran away and wrote to the President of the Republic. In her letter, she pointed out that although her country was independent, its people were still not truly free. Some human beings were like slaves, she said, and women could be bought and sold like cattle. She asked the President if he felt that this was right. This letter caused the President a great deal of concern, and he immediately changed the cruel law which permitted women to be bought and sold. The girl had won a considerable victory, but she still had a big problem. She had to find £40 to repay the man who might have become her husband. There seemed to be no way of raising so much money. Fortunately, however, the girl's story was broadcast on a radio program in Europe, and nearly £2,000 poured in from listeners. The buyer got his money back, and the girl was free to marry anyone she chose. She had won true freedom for herself and for others like her.
Questions 19 to 20 are based on the following discussion on doing business in China. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 19 to 20.
Mr. Lodge, what is the most important thing that anybody coming to do business in China for the first time should remember?
Well, I think most important for the Western businessman is the need to realize that doing business in China, or especially at first, takes time and requires patience.
Would you expand on that a little? What takes time?
Well, in China, doing business depends on building up and maintaining relationships. It is therefore necessary to be willing to spend time establishing those relationships. Once you are regarded as a friend, doing business becomes much, much easier. But the newcomer to China must be patient accept and tolerant of the slow way in which business negotiations often begin. Hurrying matters along is not productive in the long term, and threatening is even less helpful.
Ah, so you're saying that initial patience and friendliness pays off in the long run. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Once a relationship has been established, then business negotiations become much easier.
Oh, right. Well, perhaps you could next say something about business negotiations. Do you have any do's or don'ts to offer the listeners?
Yes. First of all, this seems obvious, but is important. You need to get the full name of whoever you're negotiating with. There are a relatively small number of very common surnames in China. And so merely finding out that you're talking to Mr. Wang, Mr. Zhang, or Mr. Chen will not help you to pinpoint the same person later, since in any reasonable sized company, there are likely to be several people with the same family name.
That is the end of Part C. Model Test 5, Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Part A, Directions. For questions 1 to 5, you will hear an introduction about the life of Spike Lee. While you listen, fill out the table with the information you've heard. Some of the information has been given to you in the table. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You now have 25 seconds to read the table below.
Spike Lee, a bright, clever young film director, was in deep trouble in 1992. He had persuaded Warner Brothers, the big Hollywood studio, to put up $20 million for a film biography of the controversial black leader Malcolm X, one of his heroes. Lee insisted on expensive foreign shooting in Cairo, and now, not only was the $20 million from Warner gone, but also was $8 million from other investors. To finish the movie, Lee put up his own $3 million upfront salary to pay. He hoped all the production bills. The crisis was not the first for Lee, whose experience as a movie maker illustrates several realities about the American movie industry. Not all of them flattering. Hollywood is the heart of the American movie industry. And it is difficult, if not impossible, for feature filmmakers to succeed outside of the Hollywood establishment. Hollywood, with rare exception, favors movies that follow themes that already have proven successful, rather than taking risks on innovative, controversial themes. Fortunes come and go in Hollywood, even studio fortunes. Although Warner is a major studio and often flush with money, it was on an austerity binge when Spike Lee came back for more money in 1992. The American movie industry has been taken over by mergers, which, as in the case of Warner Brothers, a subsidiary of Time Warner, was being pressured in 1992 to maximize profits, to see the parent company through a difficult economic period.
That is the end of Part A.